You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, August 7th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend. It's going to be a good one. And welcome to our new viewers on Periscope. We are now on Periscope TV. You can find out about the app at periscope.tv, downloadable for iPhone and for Android. It's a side shot of me here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, and it's got the direct feed from the board, so you'll hear the whole show as well. Sign up on Periscope, follow at Radical Russ, and not only will you find out when I am going live for the show, you'll also find out when I go Periscope and go live at the various events, Cannabis Cups, and including next weekend's Seattle Hemp Fest. That's right. I'll be periscoping live from Seattle Hemp Fest as I talk to various movers, shakers, VIPs, and so forth. And as I do my speeches from the Hemp Fest stages, I'm speaking Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next weekend. So check that out on Periscope. Follow me at Radical Russ. And in case you're wondering, yes, this does mean I'm kind of moving away a little bit from Ustream. I've still got the Ustream video window up. We'll have that for a while. And but as far as my live events goes, that RB Live channel is probably done for. I'm probably going to switch the whole thing over to this Periscope because I really like it. So hello, all you viewers out there. All right, on today's show, we've got all sorts of interesting news to cover in the marijuana community. Our guest today at half past is Ryan Nertz. He's the host of the Cannabusiness Report, or he's one of the correspondents. I'm not sure exactly which, but the Cannabusiness Report, which is premiering its second season on Fusion TV. That's Fusion TV. You can find out more by following at Fusion Channel on Twitter. Ryan will tell us about the Cannabusiness Report and what we can expect on Monday's premiere at 10 p.m. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant at the end of the show. I don't know, you were probably like me watching the Republican debate last night. I actually had it on the DVR. I can't watch these political things live with my wife because she starts yelling at them and I can't hear what they're saying. So I have to pause, wait for the anger to subside, and then go ahead with the rest of the debate. But we're going to talk about how there were 17 GOP candidates debating yesterday in two separate debates that lasted 4 hours, and there was not one mention of marijuana, the drug war, or mass incarceration. We'll take a look at that and talk a bit about it in the Radical Rant. Also on the show today, we'll have time to get into the drug war data mines, where the Wall Street Journal has uncovered information that we're going to cover on how 30% of American citizens, 30%, have some sort of criminal or arrest record in this country and how that impacts their day-to-day lives. We're also going to go behind the headlines and take a look at how two different men in two successive weeks were killed by lying cops because marijuana is still illegal. But before we get to all of that, the 420 Radio News is next in the headlines. We've got legalization updates from the state of Arizona and the state of Ohio. In Berlin, they're going to have their hemp parade tomorrow, and there's growing support for legalization in Deutschland. Wyoming's law enforcement officers are trying to fight back against a proposed medical marijuana initiative, and the NYPD turns out to have released the wrong video when it came to demonizing synthetic cannabinoids. All that coming up, plus Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls at 84-420 Radio. The news is next.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
There you go. 420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing, because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 7th, 2015. Supporters hoping to place an initiative to legalize marijuana in Arizona on the 2016 ballot reached a major milestone in their signature-gathering campaign this week. Arizona's campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol announced Wednesday that they have collected 50,000 signatures in 10 weeks. The group, which is backed by the National Marijuana Policy Project, needs to collect 150,642 valid signatures by July 2016. Because many signatures can be deemed invalid during the verification process, supporters of the petition have set a goal of collecting over 230,000 signatures. If they maintain their current pace, they will collect over 260,000 signatures. Recent polls have found that a majority of Arizona voters favor legalizing marijuana. A June 2015 poll found 53% support the idea. The measure would establish a 15% tax on adult marijuana sales in addition to standard sales taxes. Responsible Ohio's marijuana legalization amendment isn't on the ballot yet, but it aired its first TV commercial Thursday night during the Republican presidential debate.
I'm sure you've heard about the ballot issue to legalize marijuana, and you're probably wondering, does this plan make sense? How will it make Ohio safer? And what does it mean for me? Go to responsibleohio.com and get the facts.
Responsible Ohio said it submitted more than 95,000 signatures of Ohio voters Thursday afternoon in an attempt to qualify its marijuana legalization issue for the November ballot. If the previous validation rate holds, the group needed to turn in more than 70,000 signatures. Responsible Ohio reported submitting 95,572 supplemental signatures and 27,585 voter registrations. In Berlin on Saturday, marchers will come out in force in support of cannabis. Berlin's Hanf Parade has now taken place every year since 1997. Last year, according to the official website, 6,500 people demonstrated for the legalization of cannabis as a resource, medicine, and recreational drug in Germany. Now the discussion is picking up steam in Germany. On March 20, the parliament discussed a cannabis compliance law put forth by the Greens. When the neoliberal Free Democrats held their convention in mid-May, a majority of members supported legalization. Carsten Seeling, a social democrat and the chief executive of the city-state of Bremen, spoke out in favor of legalizing cannabis in July, becoming the first German state premier to do so. Federal Drug Commissioner Marlene Mortler of the Christian Social Union, however, is vehemently opposed to such proposals, as is Federal Health Minister Hermann Grühe of the Allied Christian Democrats, Germany's ruling party. A Wyoming law enforcement group is planning a campaign to fight back at efforts to legalize medical marijuana in the state. The Wyoming Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police is gauging interest in starting a statewide outreach effort to inform residents on the harmful personal and societal effects of marijuana. The law enforcement group's campaign comes as Wyoming voters could be asked to decide whether to legalize medical marijuana as early as November of next year. The Wyoming chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws must collect 25,670 33 signatures of registered voters by February 8th to get the question on the ballot for the 2016 general election. The Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police is also passing out letters that direct readers to a website, thereisnodebate.org, that is hosted by the Campbell County Prevention Council. The site includes statements such as, "Marijuana can kill." A video released by the NYPD at a news conference about what happens when cops encounter K2 users was actually of a person believed to be on PCP, a former police officer involved in the incident said. Lori Lavorato, a former cop on the Des Moines, Iowa Police Department, said she responded to calls about the man seen on video crashing through a fence in 2003. Lavorato, who left the department after 17 years and is now a realtor, said the man's family told cops he had a history of smoking wet, a cigarette or marijuana joint dipped in liquid PCP. The clip was from a cops episode that aired the same year as the incident. The man was never arrested, Lavorato said, but the NYPD released the video in an email titled K2 Video after a press conference that was partially about synthetic marijuana use. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 7th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Today in Behind the Headlines, we note that two men in the past couple of weeks have been shot, both by lying police officers, both over marijuana. And the two men are named Zachary Hammond and Sam Dubose. They're both dead. Zachary Hammond was a 19-year-old white man in South Carolina, and Sam Dubose was a 43-year-old black man in Ohio. Both of these men were shot by cops in traffic stops, and the cops lied about killing these men in self-defense. Both of these men, however, are dead more because marijuana is illegal and the fact that these cops overreacted and violated the law. We'll start with the case of Sam Dubose. Sam Dubose was shot and killed on July 19th. He had been pulled over by University of Cincinnati police officer Ray Tenzing for failure to display a front license plate. During the encounter, Dubose starts his car's ignition. Tenzing yells stop and reaches into the car. Then Tenzing, the cop, pulls his service weapon and shoots Dubose point blank in the head. Now, Tenzing claimed after the incident, the cop claimed after the incident that Dubose had driven off and dragged him down the road. So he had to use his gun in self-defense. However, the police body camera he was wearing told a different enough story that the Hamilton County prosecutor, Joe Dieters, has indicted Tensing for murder, calling it some of the worst police actions that he'd ever seen. No doubt about it, indicted for murder. One of the rare cases where one of these cops who's shooting an unarmed citizen seems to get indicted these days. Now, after the shooting, the car was impounded, and 2 days later, they got a search warrant for the car, and they found that DuBose had 4 bags and a jar of marijuana in his car. They didn't tell the exact weight of the marijuana, didn't say exactly how much they found, but Tensing's defense attorney believes DuBose, quote, was worried about the potential felony charges for having drugs in the car, end quote. Now, the state of Ohio has the greatest limit for marijuana decriminalization. You can have up to 100 grams and you will only get a ticket for possession. Now, if you've got it in separate bags and they can prove intent to distribute, that might be something different. And he did have this in separate bags. But up to 3.5 ounces is decriminalized in the state of Ohio. And between 100 grams and 200 grams, or up to 7 ounces, about, is a misdemeanor. So for the defense attorney to be saying he was worried about potential felony charges implies or infers that there was more than 7 ounces in the car amongst those 4 bags and that jar. Now, we have to ask ourselves, if marijuana were legal, would DuBose have had over 7 ounces in the car with him that night, presumably for eventual sale? Perhaps. There will always be a black market, even in a legalized world. But in a legalized world, it's also likely that the charges for greater amounts are reduced as well, like what we've done in Oregon, where there is no way any longer in Oregon you can get a felony for possession of marijuana. There's no amount you can have that will draw felony charges. And in a legalized marijuana world, there's enough competition that at least it makes there fewer people operating in the black market. So would legal marijuana have saved Sam DuBose's life? Perhaps, perhaps not. 1 week later, on July 26, Zachary Hammond, the 19-year-old white man, was the driver of a car with a 23-year-old female passenger. He was driving her to the parking lot of a fast food joint to make a weed deal. How many of us have ever been a part of that? But the deal was with an undercover officer as part of a police sting, and the undercover was joined by a backup cop in uniform who approached the driver's side door, approached Zachary's side. And as Zachary Hammond reaches toward his gear shift, put the car in park, somebody yells, "He's got a gun!" We don't know if it was the uniform cop or the undercover at this point, but somebody yelled, "He's got a gun," according to the 23-year-old woman who was charged with misdemeanor possession. And the uniformed cop shoots Hammond in the chest and the shoulder, like the clavicle. The Seneca police chief in charge there, John Covington, wouldn't release the name of the cop, but said that the cop acted in self-defense since Hammond was driving his car toward the cop. Once again, trying to harm the cop, so it was self-defense. But a private autopsy has concluded that Hammond was shot from the side and behind, and his car was not moving when he was killed. No drugs or weapons were found on Hammond or in his car, again, except for the personal amount and a pot pipe that the female passenger had. If marijuana were legal, would Hammond have been driving his female friend to a parking lot weed deal? Perhaps, maybe. Black markets will still exist, but I think it's much, much more likely that with the existence of accessible, legal marijuana shops, Zachary Hammond would be alive today. Now, legalizing marijuana won't stop police brutality, police corruption, and police misconduct, but it will be a solid first step toward reducing the opportunities these badged thugs have to shoot and kill people over weed. That and making sure we outfit all of them with police body cameras and use apps like Periscope here to record every encounter we ever have with police officers.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
Well, folks, that sound means it's 20 after the hour. It means it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. All throughout the Mountain Time Zone, for that matter. And my hometown of Boise, Idaho. Go Broncos. We're going to enjoy some legal weed right here in legal potland. When you come back, we'll do some drug war data mining.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific for Canna Truths, podcasting at cannatruths.com. Canna Truths is your premier source for cannabis-related news and events around the U.S. and the world. Denton Ramsey is a writer for over 15 years and a cannabis activist and began Canna Truths in December of 2011. Check our online listings for Canna Truths with Denton Ramsey from cannatruths.com. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we're taking a look at some information unearthed by the Wall Street Journal, taking a look at the FBI's records on arrests and incarceration in this country. And over the past 20 years, authorities have made a shocking quarter billion arrests over the past two decades, quarter billion. And of those quarter billion arrests, it has led to the FBI having 77.7 million individuals in its master criminal database. 77.7 million individuals in its master criminal database. That's about 30% of adult individuals. About one out of three American adults are listed in a criminal database. And that database grows by 10 to 12,000 names each day. And this is absolutely legal. This doesn't speak to how Rand Paul called out Chris Christie last night in the Republican debate about massive surveillance of Americans. That's on top of the fact that just through the use of our criminal justice system, one out of three American adults, almost, is in the federal records of criminals. Now, spending on law enforcement by states and local governments hit $212 billion in 2011. That's including judicial, police, and corrections costs. That's estimates from the U.S. Census. Adjust those figures for inflation, and they're up from $128 billion in 1992. And what a lot of people aren't understanding in these figures is it's not just people who are arrested and then convicted, who then have criminal records that are easily accessible for any employer or potential landlord. But we're also talking about people who were just arrested,
arrested and then never convicted. People who are innocent until proven guilty. And their records can be found. And the mere fact of them having an arrest record can be found and used to discriminate against them in employment, housing, education, and so forth. This has such an effect on citizens. There is a survey, National Survey of Youth, checking up till age 25. This is the University of South Carolina. Almost 9,000 people born in 1980 to 1984. By age 25, 21% of those who had never been arrested owned a home. But that number was 15% if you were arrested and 10% if you were convicted. As far as the median income, $25,000 if you were never arrested, but if you were arrested, and again, arrested but not convicted, still innocent, just arrested, $23,000. If you've been convicted, median income's $20,000. People that had never been arrested, only 13% were below the poverty line at age 25. If they'd been arrested, 21%, one out of five, below the poverty line. If they'd been convicted, one out of four, 26%. So these arrests, even without convictions, have detrimental effects on people's lives. We've seen the number of police officers swell by more than 100,000 from 531,000 in 1991 to 646,000 as of 2011, the most recent year of data. And as we look at that data, of course, it's even worse if we're talking about people of color. Researchers report that more than 40% of the male subjects had been arrested at least once by the age of 23. 40% of males, two out of five, arrested at least once by age 23. But that rate was 49% for black males. Meet a young black man, 23 years of age, flip a coin, and that'll tell you the chances that he has been arrested or not in this country. The number was 44% for Hispanics, 38% for whites. And when it came to women, nearly one in five women had been arrested at least once by the age of 23. And of the people arrested, nearly half, 47%, weren't convicted. And in more than a quarter of these cases, the people weren't even charged formally. They were arrested and let go, basically. And when we know that according to the Society for Human Resource Management, 69% of employers do criminal background checks on all job applicants, and 58% allow candidates to explain negative results of a check, right? So almost 70%, 69% of the employers are going to do the criminal background check, and if something comes up, 40% of them, 42% of them won't even let you explain. For them, that's it. You're done. You're out. No explanations. So this report, and again, this is out on the Wall Street Journal today, should open some eyes and hopefully open some eyes in both political parties that this arrest them all mentality, this broken windows policing idea, has only succeeded in creating criminals out of almost one out of three American adults, has put them into a criminal database, and has made their lives markedly more difficult to succeed at due to having to check off criminal convictions and background checks. This won't end until we stop treating certain things like crimes. Some of the things that people are arrested for, let's take 700,000 people a year out of that arrest total by legalizing marijuana. What do you say to that? I'm going to take a break. When we come back, Ryan Nertz, the host of the Cannabusiness Report on Fusion TV, will be joining us. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show from legal Potland, Oregon.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome. As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are going to the phone lines now, where we're joined by Ryan Nertz from the Canna Business Report. Ryan, can you hear me okay?
I can indeed. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And make sure I've got this correct. Are you the host or one of the correspondents? It was kind of unclear when we were emailing.
Sure. Yeah, I'm the host.
Oh, fantastic. I'm well, I was right. That's great. I love it when I'm right. Okay, so we've got you on here to talk about the Canna Business Report. And it's, you know, it sounds like you could judge a book by the cover, because you're going to talk about the emerging world of cannabis commerce and the legal states and the medical states, I suppose. But give everyone your pitch on the show and what they can pick up from it.
Yeah, sure. You know, the Canna Business Report is a 30-minute show that is basically going into what is happening right now in American marijuana culture. I have four new shows coming out, and they focus on some of the obvious states, Washington, Colorado, and the Colorado episode is all about what exactly has happened in the year, you know, the year-long sort of miraculous experiment in legalization there. There's a technology episode, which includes some reporting about a company called Ebu, which is actually trying to create extracts, cannabis extracts that create the perfect mood every time. And then there's another episode called a Ganjapreneurs episode, which starts out at this ArcView conference, which is basically like the Shark Tank of marijuana. So all these new entrepreneurs come in. If anyone has their million-dollar idea for weed, you go to this conference and pitch to millionaires and multimillionaires to see if they will invest in your company.
Well, that sounds great. And this is premiering on Monday at 10 p.m. on Fusion TV, right?
That's correct. Yes, exactly.
And at East Coast time, 10 p.m., or do they, I guess they have listings for people who want to check it out, right?
Yeah, it's 10 a.m. Eastern. Exactly, that's 10 a.m. Eastern, and there will be four shows every Monday for 4 weeks.
Did you say so, a.m. Or p.m.?
10 p.m.
Oh, okay. Okay, 10 p.m. and
10 p.m. Eastern.
Great. And four shows coming out weekly, and this isn't your first set of shows, is it?
No, exactly. So this is my second season, and in the first season, we actually tackled such things as we had an entire episode on sports. So, you know, one of the things was sort of going into the NFL and how the NFL has had all kinds of problems with you know, every kind of drug, painkillers, and, you know, people committing suicide, lots of guys with head injuries, things like that. And I talked to guys who had played in the NFL, including a guy named Tank Johnson, who claimed that at least 70% of the NFL smoked marijuana for medical reasons. And so, yeah, that was one episode. And then there were several other episodes. We did a whole season, and it did really well. It's been one of our more popular shows. So we got a second season, and we're really excited. I think people really dig it.
Well, Ryan, tell folks how you got involved in putting this show together. There's a lot of people out there, including myself, that perform in marijuana media, and you got the attention of Fusion TV. Was this their project? Did you bring the project to them? And how did you get involved in marijuana in the first place?
Sure. So, So I wrote a book called Marijuana America in 2013. It was called Marijuana America, One Man's Quest to Understand America's Dysfunctional Love Affair with Marijuana. And so that came out, and, you know, it was well received, and, you know, even got some attention as a potential TV project on its own. So it's actually could be turned into a scripted TV show. So fingers crossed for that. We'll see. But while that happened, then I also worked as a producer for radio for NPR, and I went down and came to Miami because of a fellow, one of my co-employees at NPR, got a job producing at Fusion for a show called Fusion Live. And for Fusion Live, I started doing my own segments about marijuana, and just because I like the name of it, I chose the Canna Business Report. I like these hybrid words, you know, Marijuana America, Canna Business, and they really liked it. And so they asked me to do a one episode. They liked the episode, and here we go. I'm now, about 10 episodes in, so it's great.
Wow, that's excellent stuff. It's Fusion TV, folks. You're going to check it out. It's the Canna Business Report coming up Monday at 10 p.m. We're speaking with Ryan Nertz, who's the host of the show. And so for this Canna Business Report, do you get a chance to travel and see some of these expositions that are going on around the country?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to, I've been to 5 Cannabis Cups at this point. You know, now I'm sure you, Russ, know, you know, about the Cannabis Cups, and, you know, started in Amsterdam, and then now High Times has really pushed them. You know, there's a medical marijuana one in Detroit that I went to. There's one in San Bernardino that I've been to a couple times. I just went to the one in Denver, which was crazy. I mean, you know,
yes,
thousands of people there. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, yes, it was. It was absolutely crazy. No doubt about it.
And so you went as well?
Yeah, I've covered all of the Cannabis Cups in America, except the first one in Detroit. So yeah, they've just grown and grown. And I'm wondering, Ryan, as you cover these things and you watch just the cannabis industry in general, looking from state to state, what are some of the differences business wise that you've noticed?
Well, I mean, when I started researching for my book, I really focused quite a bit on California, because, you know, that's still really on some level, although you can't quantify this stuff because so much of it's underground or not federally, you know, tracked. But California is really still the biggest market. And so I was really interested in that because it was the first place, you know, that really started it up. And California is really pretty chaotic on a lot of levels. I mean, you know, you start researching it, I traveled all over the state. I embedded myself with growers up in Mendocino and in the Emerald Triangle, and you know, everywhere I went, there were different laws, and you could get around these laws, and you could create co-ops and with, you know, 5 or 6 other people and grow, you know, all kinds of amounts, you know, anywhere from, you know, but it varied from state to state, from county to county, city to city. And it was just really, really, I won't say chaotic, but it was very sort of disorganized in a way. And then you go to Colorado, you know, there's always been complaints there by business owners for it being almost too organized. I mean, there's so you know, there's so much bureaucracy that these people have to go to. I just went to a grow there where they they track it from seed to sale every step of the way with these, you know, with these basically like almost like SKU, you know, the same sort of barcodes that you get on anything you buy at the store. And it's very, very bureaucratic. It's very, very organized and almost German in how hard they track it. But that's the reason why I think they were the first ones to be able to go from a medical marijuana system to the recreational marijuana policy that has worked really well there. And then I think Washington is doing a good job too. It's not quite as sort of bureaucratic and organized as Colorado, but you know, Colorado has just really been a success story because there was a lot of people who claimed that, you know, traffic fatalities were going to skyrocket and teen use was going to skyrocket, and none of that stuff has really happened. It's really, there hasn't been a whole lot of changes. You know, fatalities in cars have gone down. Teen use has gone down a little bit. And all those tax dollars are basically going to educational projects. So it's really a great, great experiment so far.
So far, so good. We're speaking with Ryan Nertz from the Canna Business Report on Fusion TV. New episodes coming out Monday at 10 p.m. Check out the listings for Fusion TV and follow at Fusion Channel. That's their Twitter handle, and you can find out more, I'm sure. Ryan, do you have any other contact info, Facebook or website stuff you want to promote while we're here?
Yeah, sure. My Twitter is at Ryan Nertz, so that's at R-Y-A-N-N-E-R-Z. Instagram is at RyanNerz13. So the same thing, RyanNerz13. And you can find my Facebook page. Just go to Ryan Nerz. And a lot of the Canna Business Report stuff that I do from the Fusion website, I end up sort of reposting to my personal page.
Excellent. Now, one last question for you. I've often noticed or remarked that when it comes to the canna business, it's kind of like a gold rush. And we're finding, like, I find that there's longtime people who've been in the marijuana world. I call them the heads. And then there's people sure. that are business types. I call them the suits. And the heads don't know a lot right. about business, and the suits don't know a lot about weed. And have you noticed that right. as well, as far as new people coming into this movement, this business?
Yeah, that's actually that's a very good distinction that you make. Which one do you consider yourself?
I'm a head who wore a suit for a long time. I'm a head. I'm undercover, baby.
Yes. Well, you know, for most of us, we've had no choice but to be undercover. You know. Yeah. You know, that's a really good distinction, and I think you're absolutely right. There's the heads and the suits, and there's a lot of resentment between the two. You know, I just did my most recent episodes were very kind of business oriented. And like I said, I went to this thing called the ArcView Investors Forum, which is like the Shark Tank of weed. And a lot of the people that were there are people who are actually in the tech world, people who had already had successful businesses that they had fostered and then sold off to big Silicon Valley tech money. And they really didn't care that much about marijuana. They just saw it as an emerging industry where they could make a lot of money. You know, I covered Dixie Elixirs, which is, you know, this huge edibles company in Denver. And, you know, the founder, Trip Heber, has been criticized by a lot of people for just being, you know, Joe business. And he had, I think, Pot Barons of Colorado, that TV show came out that was really focused on him. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that really don't like those people because they don't represent the head side. They weren't like growing underground in their basement and when it was illegal, and then now so that they've kind of earned the right to make so much money now. And I understand, you know, that resentment. At the same time, you know, if you're going to progress, if America is going to become, you know, sort of the foreground, the most progressive nation in the world on marijuana, which it's rapidly becoming, then it's going to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, people always predicted that Starbucks and all the tobacco companies and the drugs companies will really take over the game. And that's still possible. But so far, you know, there's still a lot of heads who are making a lot of money growing and making dabs and making butter and making hash and having nice dispensaries in Oregon and Washington and California. So far, I mean, I think that conflict is not going to die for a while, but to me, it's still an industry filled with a lot of really cool people and a lot of cool heads. And the suits, you know, some of the suits are kind of heads that were sort of in the closet, and they're not that bad. And, you know, some of them are just business people. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's business.
That's right. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with the Canna Business Report this Monday, 10 p.m. on Fusion TV. And welcome back anytime, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rod. Take care, brother.
All right. Well, we got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day coming up. And then my radical rant on the GOP debate. 4 hours, 17 candidates, and not anybody could talk about weed? Not one? Really? Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Young people from all walks of life have volunteered to take part in a frightening experiment.
Next.
For a short time each day, they are allowing their brains to be altered. Altered to the degree that paranoia has been induced. Altered to cause loss of motor functions. Altered to have adverse effects on reproductive organs. Altered to produce heart malfunction and destruction of brain cells to the point of memory loss. And acceleration of the aging process. The most frightening part of this experiment is that it is not an experiment. It's what slowly happens to you when you keep smoking pot. No one has to alter your brain. You've already volunteered to do it to yourself.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
This is Matt Abel, and you're listening to 420radio.org, live from HempFest.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
I don't know if you tuned in last night, but I thought it was must-see television and recorded the Republican presidential debates that were held on Fox News last night from the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio, the site of the eventual GOP nominating convention later next year. And they had two debates, you understand. They have 17 candidates, and they didn't take my suggestion of running them like a NCAA March Madness bracket. You know, just let him go one-on-one each week and eliminate one at a time so you don't have to listen to all 17 of them for the next, what, 13 months, 14, 15 months? Oh, my God. But anyway, they have 17 of these candidates, so Fox News has decided that only the top 10, based on an average of 5 national polls, would participate in the primetime debate, the 2-hour primetime debate. Candidates 11 through 17 were relegated to what I would call the kids table at Thanksgiving. The kids table debate, there was also a 2-hour debate amongst the lower tier candidates, Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina, Rick Perry, and so forth. And a lot of people are saying former HP CEO Carly Fiorina was doing a fantastic job, won that debate. I wouldn't know. I tried to print it out on my HP printer and it's out of ink. But anyway, the kids table debate, 7 candidates, 2 hours. And then the primetime debate took place, another 2-hour debate, the top 10 candidates with billionaire Donald Trump right there in the middle, continuing his unexpected dominance of the Republican field. And right from the start, the Fox News moderators are casting Trump as a wild card who once supported Democrats and liberal ideals. And if he ran as an independent, it would doom the eventual Republican nominee and lead to another President Clinton. And throughout the debate, it was just transparently clear that this was directive from Roger Ailes, the Koch brothers, the whole Fox establishment to make sure that Republican orthodoxy was obeyed. In fact, questions that went to the other candidates on immigration, gay marriage, abortion, ISIS, Iran, the economy, God, Obamacare, global warming, Medicare, Common Core, every single question was framed in a way to point out the candidate who differed from what the Fox News talking point would be on that particular issue. And there were some flare-ups, Chris Christie and Rand Paul battling over mass surveillance, with Rand Paul famously saying that you don't understand the Bill of Rights. That was fantastic. Turns out Chris Christie was lying as he tried to cover himself in the blood of the 9/11 victims, saying that he had been appointed on September 10th, 2011. And then, of course, September 11th happened. Turns out that, you know, people look shit up and found that he wasn't nominated by former President Bush until December of 2001. So that was a total lie that he repeated twice for clarity. No surprise from Chris Christie, though. And there were some flare-ups between Rand Paul and Donald Trump and Donald Trump and everyone else. Pretty much what you could have expected from the debate. But in all of the 4 hours of the kids table debate and the primetime debate, not one mention about marijuana legalization that is already in 4 states. It's already in the nation's capital. And it's going to be in the 2016 election in at least Nevada. It's already on the ballot. It's likely to be on the ballot in California, Arizona, Michigan, and Massachusetts as well. Now, and okay, maybe we don't ask a direct question about marijuana legalization, but there wasn't even a broader question about the war on drugs. Or even still more broad, a question about mass incarceration. And it's not as if these topics haven't been brought up. It just seems that if leading the world and all recorded history as the planet's number one jailer isn't registering with the Republican Party, or at least it's not registering with the moderators of the debate with Fox News. Now, the closest that any question came to getting anywhere near the periphery of the issue of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and so forth, was when Wisconsin's Governor Scott Walker, you know, the one who does drug testing for welfare and is proud of it, was asked about the Black Lives Matter movement. Walker said, quote, "It's about training and that it's vital to ensure law enforcement professionals, not only on the way in, but all the way through their time, have the proper training, particularly when it comes to the use of force," end quote. So he pretty much dodges the whole racial aspect of Black Lives Matter and the whole killing by cop incidents. And of course, this is coming from a guy who's the governor of a state that's got the highest rate of African-American incarceration in the country. Over 1 in 8 black people in Wisconsin is in jail, 13%. And then, of course, right after that, Literally right after that, Fox went to commercial. It was an ad for the NWA Ice Cube Dr. Dre biopic Straight Outta Compton. And in that 30 seconds, there was more insight into police brutality and race relations than from the whole debate over 3 hours. Now, the only black person on the stage is Dr. Ben Carson. He also deflected the question of race in America, explaining that as a neurosurgeon, he actually works on the part of us that makes us who we are, and that the hair doesn't matter, and the skin doesn't matter. Well, if that's the case, Dr. Carson must be making the case that our jails and courts are disproportionately packed with black folks because they're just bad people. And at the kids' table debate, the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, the son of Indian immigrants, said that immigrants should, quote, learn English, adopt our values, roll up your sleeves and get to work, because immigration without assimilation is an invasion. And one of Bobby Jindal's current political ads explains that he is, quote, tired of hyphenated Americans. We're not Indian Americans or African Americans or Asian Americans. We're all Americans, end quote. We're all Americans. Well, if that's the case, Governor Jindal ought to explain why, of all the Americans in prison, there's disproportionately ones in there who are hyphenated Americans. The issues of police, race, and drugs are burning up on Facebook and Twitter. It's hard to believe that as Fox News is soliciting questions from Facebook for the candidates, not one question about marijuana legalization, the war on drugs, or mass incarceration came up. Well, perhaps Fox knows that any answer the Republicans give, except maybe Senator Rand Paul, is not going to help their candidate defeat the Democrats in 2016. But this drug war debate is going to happen, and these Republican candidates better start figuring out what their position is going to be on it. We've already heard from Chris Christie on the issue that he is going to double down. He is going to ensure that the marijuana legalization that exists in four states in the District of Columbia is shut down by the federal government. He even went so far the other day as to say, if you like smoking pot in Colorado, better toke up now, because as soon as he becomes president, that's over. So we know at least Chris Christie's on that. And of course, some of the rest of them are on that tip as well. But among some of the front runners, people like Donald Trump or Jeb Bush, their sympathies are more toward a states' rights issue. They're saying they're against it. It's a bad mistake. The federal government shouldn't make it legal. But if a state wants to, then it might be okay. You know, if the state wants to do that, that's their right. Now, of course, they cling to that ideology because they want to use that cudgel of states' rights in more issues than just marijuana legalization. They want the states' rights to impose abortion bans and to impose immigration law and to voter ID and different gun laws and so forth. But at least it's consistent in principle. But the Republicans are going to have to face this because there's a number of these states where it's going to be a serious issue, and none greater than the state of California. With its, what, now 55 electoral votes, you know that this will be asked, and that their stance on marijuana legalization is likely to cost them votes in California, although Republicans know that's a state they're probably not going to win anyway. Marijuana legalization in some form might be on the ballot in Ohio in 2016. Now that's a swing state they might have to worry about. Nevada can be a swing state, but doesn't have very many electoral votes to worry about. Arizona is usually reliably a Republican state, but with legalization on the ballot, will younger voters turn out? And will the GOP's anti-immigration stand cost them Latino votes? It's going to be a fun political season. We'll be here covering it for you from the marijuana angle. But for now, that's all the time we got. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you